Sarah have given birth to Isaac.
I did kind of roll my voice like that then. Yeah.
Attending this church.
This son represents right. everything to
you guys. Can not find the son
over 20 years now.
We will get started in our
church has asked me to bring
children.
Something,
but it represented.
If
the
I could have the ushers
God,
prepare, because we are about to take up our offering.
It
represented that he could trust God. That God came through, that God's a God of his word, all of those things he represented. And then in chapter 22, he is told to now take this child at this point. I said he was Abraham was 100. Obviously, he was older because Isaac was younger, youngish, 8, 9, 10 years old, something like that. And he was told to go up on a mountain and sacrifice his son. And I know
but
at first blush, it's
choice.
Like, whoa, that's pretty heavy.
And
it is
in the way,
pretty heavy.
Whatever
we see
things,
in this story a
anything,
foreshadowing of God the Father
it'll be crowded
giving
out.
Up his only begotten
and as
son,
our spirituality
Jesus,
goes
certainly.
Down, the flesh
but let's, let us
goes
also
up.
Not miss what
it's just
we
the,
see
fact
here
of life.
For Abraham and
so
subsequently
a while back,
for us.
I started praying
he was told
a
to
lot,
sacrifice
and the thought came
son,
to my mind.
And
in
he
September,
puts the wood
when my brother
on his
was
son.
Dying of cancer,
so not only
that
is
I was
the son going
to
be sacrificed, but he has to carry the wood
I hand
that he's going
to
lay
doorstep.
On. And Isaac turns to his father Abraham and says, where's
and
the lamb? I see the wood, I see the fire, I see everything's prepared and ready, but where's the lamb? And Abraham, even though he was told to sacrifice his son, he said, the Lord will provide the lamb. And he was
and
very
so they,
aware of the provision of the Lord.
Started to come to my home because
so
I put up
they're walking
some
up there
signs.
And he straps him to the pile,
don't
and we don't have a lot of information. We don't know if Isaac was squirming. We don't know if Isaac thought he was joking. We don't know any of that. But we know that he has a knife in his hand, and he's just about to slay his
only
son.
Now, I can go 2 weeks without anybody
and an angel of the Lord stopped him and said, Abraham, do not do that. Verse 22 is really important for us. The angel of the Lord says, now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.
My husband died last month. I can't stop the waterfalls.
The same
can
be true for us today.
What do you say when a retired policeman comes up and whose drug addict son murdered a barber in Mount Dora?
We do not withhold anything
what do you
from
say
him,
to
anything
somebody who says,
from
I'm 19
him.
Years old, I got three kids,
or
and
it
I
could
only
be said, withheld from me what is precious.
I need prayer, he sure does.
Whatever's precious to you.
What
maybe
do you
it's
say
your
to
money.
Somebody who says, my brother went
up,
into a simple operation
our tithes
and they
offerings.
Messed up and
maybe
he's in a medically induced coma?
That's what's precious to me.
The needs are all around us.
I know it. I know
and
there's
whenever
times
I've been
that God
into
tells
Jerry
me to
Francis,
give up my time,
and
I haven't.
And won't.
And I know there's times
that
God tells me
have.
To give up my time, and I haven't.
But if I'm walking right with the Lord,
that's what's precious to me. I don't know what's precious to you.
Happening.
Maybe it's a relationship.
And they're happening there,
maybe
little
it's
by
substance.
Little.
Maybe it's
God put us right opposite the development's
blank.
Mailbox.
We all have something
so I get
that's
chat
precious to us.
As they come and go,
and we fear God. Fear not in
with them and stuff.
I'm overwhelmed. I don't want anything to do with God. Kind of fear. Fear is in reverential. Is as in awe. As in
as one fellow did, and he says,
submit
do
to you. I will submit to your
together.
Authority and, to your kindness
and
to your
countenance. On the concrete, and he said, thank you, and he just
you are my
away.
God. That's what it means
so
by fear. And we show that when we don't
that
withhold
this,
anything.
That God wants
there was a meme or a picture that was going around Facebook not long ago.
I don't
it was
think
of
we
realize Jesus
that we have three major
with
enemies.
This giant teddy bear behind his back. And
these
and he's talking to this
Trinity
little girl who has an itty bitty little teddy bear in front of her.
And
he says, just trust me as if.
And
give
it is
me your teddy
evolution,
bear. Give to me
humanism,
something that's precious
and
to you. And,
you cannot
and
mention God's
says,
name in school.
But I
you
love
can't
it, God.
Mention the theory
and that's
of
kind
of
where we are
you
sometimes.
You can't pray in school anymore, but everybody
but
else can do what they want.
Me,
so when you raise your
I
kids, when they
maybe
leave
we
home,
say,
they go into
I've
that
given
environment.
Everything else up. At
and
least
all the way up to their
doctorate
degrees. And they come out.
It's not as bad as what other people have or what other people are holding on to.
They're filled with knowledge as Adam and Eve wanted knowledge. But knowledge
and this picture really depicts, obviously, practical things.
So therefore, we are
I believe
proud nation.
Spiritually
and
speaking,
proud
this
nation,
also represents
in that, you should never get involved
that what
in.
God is holding,
so leaving from
ready
the individual
to give to us,
that
wanting to give
there,
to us, but we need to give up what's precious to us.
What in their neighborhood, wherever
an awareness
you guys are
of
going,
him,
leaving that for a moment, I just wanted to share something
aware
with you
of him, being in his presence, being filled with his spirit.
We're not really
with trust
it.
Me.
We don't
you
understand
can't be
what's
filled
going on.
Until
and I wrote
you're
two
empty.
Short things that I'd like
so
to
he's asking
with.
Us this morning to give up what's
and
the most
this.
Precious to us so that he can
a
give us something
rages
that's
for the
far
soul of America.
Greater than we could
a
ever think
a heart cry for help,
or
a
imagine.
Plea for prayer.
We
our country's in trouble. Is anyone
Heavenly
out
Father,
there?
Lord,
from
as
the
we
living
give
God, we did
our tithes and offerings this
idols
morning, I pray that this would just be
pride,
the first
and crime, guilt, grief, and
opportunity
will have for their center,
to put
the
this
I.
word in
if
action.
If we live for ourselves, we'll surely
Lord,
die.
We
let's say
maybe
Lord,
give up something
Lord,
that's precious
Lord,
to us, something we're holding back. I don't
the flag
know. Maybe,
is tatted.
Maybe we've decided not to tithe because
the republic we love.
We're struggling.
Stuff is open
and maybe
shown.
You're saying just
a
trust
has been made. The gap is
wide.
Christians alone can turn the tide.
I pray for the opportunity.
Darkness has spread over the land,
this.
Tightening
Lord,
its
during
grip
the rest of the
like
service,
a giant
during the rest
band.
Of the day, during the rest
demonic
of the week,
activity
during the rest
told,
of our lives,
long
Lord,
ago
Lord,
was
we would give up what's
if
most
ever
precious
we departed from the fold.
To us and
Christians
trust
must awake.
You
our country
to give
is hurting
us something that's
and crying. Some
Jesus
are praying, but
pray.
Our nation is dying. Yeah. In dust and in ashes, we must repent and plea and turn back to God for his grace and mercy. Yes, the hour is late, and Lord, we do care, and will herald a cry for intercessory prayer. Across this land, your bright light will shine, a roaring flame of love, your brilliance divine. Darkness will be consumed, evil will flee, souls will be saved, and captives set free. And I thought about that with the wars and everything that we're involved in. All the martyrs, all the people that have died for our country, well, not just Washington, but his church lies in a lethargic state for the most part. And why is it? Why is it, folks? Right here, I have a prairie list. It's brown. I've known these people 60 and 70 years or more. I've prayed for them for 40 years, and not one of them got saved, and a couple have passed on. And somebody else has a prayer list, and it's renewed every week or every year. So what is it? God gave me the hard ones? Or is it that they're, is God, am I in touch with God? And no, because I really believe in answer to prayer. So therefore then, I've got to get with it. We Christians, we have to get with it. We have to understand, and this last poem here, or rhyme is, picture the stripes on our flag, 13 of them going all the way down. Stripe one, God birthed America with a great destiny. Number two, patriots shed their blood for her liberty. Soldiers paid the price to keep her free. God blessed the republic and gave the victory. Power and wealth were gained amid poverty. But something's going wrong she can no longer see. Her senses have been dulled by prosperity. The nation's become proud and filled with vanity. Her beauty is now marred from sea to sea. She's fallen from grace and is no longer free. No soldier can save her by his bravery. She must seek God again on bended knee. If she fails to do so, she will fade into history. That's what's happening to us. And it starts with us individually. So I pray today that something precious is happening. I know it's happening in the prayer meeting. By the way, you've all heard of the daily bread, the people with the devotion. I wrote them. And I told them what I was doing, and they sent me 350 of these. I've developed, delivered them all through our development and mostly through another development. And then the Catholic guy comes up and he says, I got 95 of these, the daily devotions from Daily Bread. So I made up another flyer that I put as a header to, I think I have it here, but it's a header. I sent a notice around saying these are honorable people. And to read this, what they write. And so, again, I don't know what's happening, but it'll be another 100 that I'll deliver out while I'm in another development nearby now. And I'm not going to quit, God willing. And if he keeps a hold of me, I will not quit. And so, and if not, it's back to the boob tube. It's back to our little toys and our things. And maybe we're not doing things terrible, and maybe we are. But if we're not praying, it's terrible to God. How, and I will promise you to conclude with this. How then, Pastor, as we shared beforehand, when I know it's a different dispensation, but when the temple was filled with the Holy Spirit, with God's Spirit, they couldn't even stand to sing or to minister or to do anything. They were flat out. Can you imagine one of them Jewish guys getting up with a sledgehammer and trying to punch his way out of that temple? Can you imagine under that scenario, the devil trying to be able to punch his way in? Well, he's punched his way into the church with division and lack of unity. He's punched his way out with the individual sins we have. How can I don't want to wind up being a sieve as I hear all these great messages and things here, there, and everywhere, and it just have to go right through. To be filled up is to be filled to overflowing for somebody else to receive the overflow. How can I do that when I'm constantly needing Band-Aids? And so, Lord, I really come to you today, and this is what was on my heart. I pray I didn't take more than the 10 minutes, which I think I did. But at any rate, Lord, I pray for everybody here, Father God, that the Spirit of the living God would fall upon us, and not here only, but those pockets of prayer would be all over the country. And somehow you're knitting and weaving a fabric, Lord, so that when the planet blows, the fabric of love is there, Lord. We're not going anywhere but straight to you when we leave here. So we pray, Lord, that you who began a good work in this congregation, in the hearts of everyone here, who is very capable of performing, perfecting, and finish it, will continue to do so, Lord, and that we really, really don't have churchianity. We really are gripped by God in this church, and others are going to see it, and they are going to come. You're going to do something mighty here. We know you're pruning and doing stuff individually here and with folks that have left. So we're just thanking you, Father, for everything you've done and are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that was awesome. A blessing to hear Jeremy and, I mean, Jerry and his passion. And, you know, what he's doing is just responding to what God is doing right where he is at. Jerry's the kind of guy that can talk to anybody. Jerry can talk probably to even inanimate objects. Jerry is a blessing. We're not all like that. And so how do we be disciples of Christ right where we are with who we are using the parts that God has given us? And so Jerry's amazing. He shared about prayer and the impact of prayer, and he's right. We have to pray. We have to, and we don't have to be extroverts to pray. And some would say a prayer is an introverted type thing. But praying with others, it's not that hard. And so I want to talk to you about a few things, really simple things I want you to remember. Before I do, I want to lay the groundwork with discipleship. When Sean asked if I would share today, I was having trouble coming up with what I might share. And I felt like I would have a call to action. And a call to action sounds like a challenge, like, oh, no, not again. Rob's going to get up here and tell us what we need to do. And I really felt like the call to action that I want to give is really simple and easy that we can all do right where we're at, and that's discipleship. And to lay the groundwork, I want to define discipleship. Sometimes we talk about discipleship and we think about it in different ways. But I want to define discipleship as helping people make one step towards Jesus, wherever they are. It could be an atheist. It could be a Buddhist. It could be a Muslim. But if they make one step towards Jesus, that's discipleship. Some people might define that part as evangelism. That's okay. But in the past, we've defined discipleship as, okay, once you get saved, then we start discipling. But I'm going to say I really, truly believe that discipleship starts from the beginning. Because for me, I had to have many, many different people pour into my life before I was ready to make that decision. And so I want to define discipleship as helping others make one step towards Jesus, wherever they are. And that could be the pastor who's been preaching for a dozen years or 40 years. What is the way that they can make one step towards Jesus? What is the way that I can make one step towards Jesus? That's discipleship. Of course, if we can go to the next, or I guess I got a button here, the next slide. The Great Commission calls us to discipleship. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. That's discipleship. Just sharing what Jesus has shared with us. And so, coming to practical matters, I want to talk about some really practical ways that we can all do this. Really simple, right where we are. Let me see if I can figure out which button this is. There we go. So how do we disciple others? Be real. It's about relationship. It's not hard. We don't have to have a theology degree. While theology degrees are great, and it's wonderful for those who want to learn, you don't have to know everything. Meet people where they are and come from where you are with your struggles and your chaos and your mess and everything. You don't have to pretend to know it all. You don't have to pretend like you have it all together. You don't have to put on the show, because that fakeness is what draws people away from Christ. It's the realness that we give that says, I'm real, just like you. I have struggles and I mess up plenty. And come be with me. We'll mess up together and maybe God will speak to us. That's discipleship, is letting people in. And when you let people in, they often will let you in. And that's what realness does. So what I want to do is share three things that I want you to remember. And I'm going to tell you what they are. So what I want you to remember, just for a moment, is to everybody look at me for a moment and tell, and I want you, I'm going to tell you three words, and I want you to remember these three phrases. The first is what. Everybody say what. The next is so what. Now what. Now I'm going to tell you what those things are about. So one way to be involved with discipleship is to tell a story. Just tell a story. It could be a story from your own life. It could be a story of somebody else's life. It could be a story from the Bible. Just a story about God doing something in somebody's life. A personal testimony of what God did for you, or something that somebody, how somebody encountered Christ in their life. And the Bible is full of these stories, of course, but you don't have to always start with the Bible. All those, we want to lead people towards the message of the Bible, but the message of the Bible is lived out in our lives as well as we follow Christ. So tell a story. Then talk about that story. This is the part where it becomes with purpose. Jerry talked about doing things with purpose. Not if you don't try to make it do something, you just kind of end up vegging out and doing nothing. And so this is where you tell a story with purpose. And so when you tell the story, you want to talk about that story. And this is where you can bring the spiritual elements. And it's not hard. You don't have to have some kind of, special anointing to do this. This is just being real. And so these are three questions: the what, so what, and now what. Those that are have studied and do have been in theology, it's observation, interpretation, and application. And these are the steps of that we're encouraged as Bible study students to dig into the Word. But this works with any story. So what does it say? What's there? What's happening? So what does it mean? What's it, the interpretation of that? And then now what do I do with it? How do I apply it to my life? So in order to do this, I would like two volunteers to come up here who are able to be very concise and come up here and sit with me, and we're going to go through the story and demonstrate this process. Do I have two volunteers? Oh, here we go, two guys. Yeah, I'll grab one too. Why don't you guys share that? And Okay, so you guys can share. We only have two up here right now. So thank you guys for coming up here. I appreciate it. And you guys have both been involved with me in this process in the past, so it's actually really easy. And I want to say something about Sam here. Sam, it's really good to have you here, and we're really excited about what you're doing and your family getting ready to be full-time in Africa beginning of next year, so we're really excited. And Sam has, Sam is in part, some of the questions that we're going to be going over later, in part, I heard first from Sam, so I got to give Sam credit to that, but it came from some material called I Am Second, but we're going to get to that in a few minutes. First, would one of you be willing to read this passage? Obed. Sam says Obed would. You can, yeah.
Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. Then Jesus went from village to village, teaching the people, and he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except walking stick. No food, no travel bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take change of clothes. Wherever you go, he said, stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any place refuses to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. Show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil.
Thank you, Obed. We're real here. It's okay if we mess up. So now we're going to go through these steps I just outlined. First one is what? What does it say? Let's observe what it says. There's a couple questions that I found useful with that, and that is, what did you like about the story? So what did we like about the story?
I like the empowerment that he's commissioning them to go out, and he's giving them authority to go out, and he told them to go out. And so it's not like, hey, we're just going to go do this. It was like they had a specific word from Jesus, from God, go and do this. And so it's like, okay, if he told us to do it, that means he's gonna let us do it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Obed, do you have anything that stands out that you liked about the story?
I like not just what he said, but also the way that God or Jesus sent them in teams of two. God doesn't ever send us to do something by ourselves. He always gives us support. Not just from him, but also from people around us.
Yeah, I like that too, how it's like God has said, you can do this, and I'm with you, and it's going to be okay. And it was practical. It was like, right where you are. I think these 70 people that came along with Jesus, they were just inspired and kind of, you know, drawn to the crowd. And he's like, okay, let's put this into action. So next question. What did you not like, or what makes you uncomfortable or confused about the story?
Can you click it back?
Yep.
So for me, when I think about what's difficult for me is the specifics of him sending them out, like all of the rules that were to it. Mm. You know, and it's like, I know he had a purpose in it. When I look at it applying to me today, it's like, okay, God, you know, I constantly hear you saying go, but you're not telling me what I am and am not supposed to take. You know, it's like, hey, no food, no money, no travel bag, don't take a change of clothes. It's like, okay. Yeah, take a stick with you. You know, it's okay. You know, it's very, very specific. And so for me, it's like, okay, we've got to be fine-tuned into the specifics of the journey. For me, that's a challenge. That's a real struggle.
Yeah.
So what I find a little bit difficult about this is what he tells the people that don't listen. That's just hard for me. It's like, well, I thought God loves everyone, but he's like, just shake the dust off your feet. It's like, wow, that's Jesus, you know? It's like, wow, that's kind of a little bit hard for me.
Yeah. That's the only two hard things for me.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on. So with the what, we looked at, what does it say? Now we're going to look and try to figure out what it means. So what? What does it mean? What does it say about God? What do we learn about God through this story?
Well, coming off of what Sam was saying, you know, in this specific occasion, Jesus gave them specific instructions like, you know, what he mentioned. I think we can interpret that as whenever God sends us to do something, he's going to provide all of our means. He doesn't need us to bring our things. He's not expecting us to provide. It's his work, and he will provide for the needs for the journey, for whatever it is that, you know, we don't need to bring our production. We don't need to put in a giant program. We need to come with his presence.
Yeah.
So I see God's heart for people, you know, sending them out, but also I see God as not wasting time. He's like, I want people in the kingdom. I want you to go out and I want you to disciple people. I want you to go. If they don't hear you, don't waste my time. Don't waste your time. Move on. So
yeah,
he's concise, but he has a heart for people who will respond.
Yeah. One thing I see about God in that passage is God is prepared the hearts. They were already prepared. So like what Sam said, you know, they knew God knew who was going to receive it, and you know, not to waste time on those that weren't. Not that maybe they might come around later, but at this point, they God knew the ones that would have the open hearts and told the disciples which ones to focus their attention on. Okay, so what does God say about people in this passage?
Well, it talks about, there's the people who receive it, there's the people who don't. So we see, what I see about mankind is basically we've discussed is they're either going to accept it or they're not, you know, at that point. It's like you can sow the seed, people are either going to say yes or they're going to say no.
Yeah.
Those are the options, and so it's like mankind has a choice. In everything we have a choice. So what I see is yes or no people.
Yeah.
I also see that God uses people.
Yeah. Yeah. We're the ones that live it out. I mean, he empowered us. The Great Commission was empowering us to go do it. And when we choose to do that, God's going to be with us. Awesome. Okay, let's go on. We've looked at what it means, looked a little bit at that, and we're going to go on to what do we do with it? Now what? Now what should I do with what I've learned through reading this passage or hearing this story? The application is how will we apply it to what we've learned to our own lives and put it into practice? So there's two main questions here, and that has to do with, okay, what are you going to do with you? The other one has to do with what are you going to do with others? So first, based on the story, how will you change your life? And the second part of that is specifically, what are you going to do about today's discussion? So we've learned something today. What are we going to do with it today or this week?
Well, it just encourages me to listen to the specifics. Listen, God is speaking. He's always saying go. He's always saying go. And sometimes he's saying rest, but he's always, even in resting, we're going. Even in resting, we're still reaching people where we are in our location. But we see he's speaking specifics. And so for me, what I want to do is I want to listen for specifics and hear specifics about what he's called me to do, about do I need to take money? Do I need to take clothes? Do I need to take something? You know, what are the specifics? You've commissioned me, now what are the specifics?
Yeah.
I also see that, you know, it's not necessarily in the story, but to get to that point, they had developed a relationship with Christ. You know, in order to go out and do something for Christ, you need to also be in that relationship with Christ, have that close relationship so that you can hear from him and you can know where to go and what to do and to hear the specifics.
Yeah.
You have to have that relationship with Christ. You have to cultivate that relationship so that he can send you.
And an encouragement to just kind of press into your own relationship.
Right, because besides that, then we're going out in our own strength. I mean, we want to do something good, and that's fine. But, you know, if we want to be effective in actually being able to listen to God, we have to be in a close relationship with him.
So for me, it's the encouragement that I see to put in my life is to look for those opportunities on purpose. You know, who is it that I'm going to be able to share with, share what I've learned to encourage? Those are some of the ways. The second part of that question is, how specifically is there anything that you can think of that you can do this week to implement that in your life?
For me, it's pray and be ready to be in God's presence. And whenever He says speak to someone, yeah. You know, you don't necessarily get it until maybe 10 seconds before you need to talk to them. So have that openness of mind that it's not just here that God speaks to you. It's every moment. So we have to seek Him, because God doesn't twist our arm into doing His will. We need to seek Him first. Yeah. And then when we open that door and receive Him, then He's able to commune with us and speak to us. And doing that every day and every moment, and be ready and expecting God to lead you to do something.
Yeah.
And so with me, the second question, who will you tell? Yeah. Or with whom will you have a spiritual conversation about the story?
So we can move on to that part, is who will you tell about it? And then who are you going to actually, you know, identify who that is?
So there is a couple that I actually do want to share this with. We're headed back to Alabama today, so we've got one more day to get this done, but then I can look for opportunities in Alabama to share the story. But there is a couple who I want to have a conversation this week with about that. And so if you could pray for that would work, that I would have the opportunity to share and they would receive it. Just this empowerment that Jesus gives disciples as He sends them out.
Well, I want to, for time's sake, we won't go any further, but we would take the time to hear from each person and what they're going to do. Sam asked for prayer, so let's pray with Sam right now. Lord, I thank You for Sam in his heart to be able to share and empower others. Lord, I pray for this couple specifically that You would help their heart to be open for that.
Yes, sir.
And give Sam the opportunity, that's the right opportunity to share that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thanks, guys. I appreciate you coming up here. The reason why I shared that is I just wanted to show you that it's simple. Any of us can do this. It doesn't take a theologian or somebody special or years of experience, because I felt like that when I was first saved. I'm like, ugh. To go tell people. But at the same time, I was also telling people about what God was doing in my life, because they were my friends and I cared about them and they cared about me, and that impacted their lives as well. And so, you know, get that passion back that we first had, and share about your lives. Be open with each other, with others. And I think, you know, we're preaching to the choir here. Most of us here have a committed relationship with Christ. Let's go and share with our relatives, our friends, our fellow classmates, whoever that might be, and be open, be vulnerable, be willing to get out there and say, you know, what's going on in your life? This is what's going on in my life. And be willing to share, whether it's a Bible story, a testimony, or even someone else's story, share it. I'm wrapping up, but as Bev gets ready to come up, I just want to say Bev is really special to me. She discipled me, and she shared her life with me when I was a new believer. And a lot of where I am and the place that God has brought me has been because of some investments that Bev has made in my life early on and continues to make. So without further ado.
Eyeball, and that's getting harder the older I get. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Rob. First of all, I want to thank Pastor Sean for letting me speak this morning. And praise God. Praise God. Is he in the house today? All right, let's hear it. I've got notes, and I have to use them because I have a racetrack mind, and it takes off without me. When Sean asked me, to speak, he said, you've got 10 minutes. And he left the house. And I thought about that a few hours later. And I texted him and I said, you know, Billy Graham couldn't even do it in 10 minutes. He took 20. So I'm here. Praise the Lord. I just want to say praise God when I heard that Rob was going to be speaking today and Jerry was. I thanked God because, number one, Rob and I have done a lot of ministry together over the years, and to be able to be here with you today, what a blessing. And Jerry, where'd he go? Oh, my goodness. You know, Jerry, I've known for many years, and he never changes. He's the same, same, same. And what I mean by that is he's growing and changing. But the man only wants to talk about Jesus. That's all he ever talks about. And I love that. He has never changed. He has always been hungry for God. From the day I met him, he's nothing but hungry, hungry, hungry. I love that. And God loves that. I called this little, I just thought of it this morning. Got up early. I was up at 4:30 and... Well, that's a lie. 5 o'clock. And I was spending time with the Lord. And the Lord just brought this to me. What I was going to call this message was Back to the Future. And I believe that's exactly where we are today. So, praise God. Some of you know me, and some of you don't. And you've seen me come in with my walker. And I said that you probably went there. Who is that dinosaur sitting back there in the back of the room? And she brings her own furniture to church, too. So, hey, you know, I've reached that age where it is what it is, and it's just okay. So anyway, but, and I'm going to look at these notes a lot because I do want to stay on task. But what I am is one of 11 people. Remember, it's Back to the Future. One of 11 people that met in a home group in a house in Umatilla of Pam and Dale Jergens back in 1983. 11 of us. And 1 month later, we had 50 people meeting in that little house. And we were jammed in there. And I was hoping, because there's no one here right now that was in that home group. Mary Kulazinka, no, I'm sorry. Carol was going to be here today, but obviously she couldn't make it. She was one of those 11. Now, out of those 11 people, there was Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Russian Orthodox, and who's the other guys? Catholic, yes, Catholic, and there was one more. Bottom line is, all of our backgrounds were different, but we had one thing in common, one core thing. We were hungry. We were hungry for Jesus Christ. We wanted to know him more. And God had pulled us out of those places in together with one common cord to know him. Hungry, hungry for him. We met in that home group for, well, till August of that year. And we rented the American Legion Hall down in Umatilla. You know where that is? Have anybody been in there? I've been there since 1983, but the building looks the same to me from the outside. I don't know if it's gotten any bigger or not, but that was a tiny little building. It's got two rooms in the upstairs, and I'm talking small. We didn't have as much room as from here to there, to those that wall back there. And that's where the sanctuary, we made that the sanctuary, and then off to the side was a little room we divided into twos, and we had the nursery there with a curtain in between it, and that was for the babies, and on the other side was for the 2 to 4 year olds, I think, something around like that. And every Sunday, we had to set it up. Sunday morning, we got there early, we had to put the chairs in place, bring all the instruments with us, set the place up, and we'd have church Sunday night. And then we'd have to tear it all down. And this went on for 4 years. We just continued to do that and excited. Now, remember, it was in August, by the way. Hot. Hotter than Hades, I think. Well, maybe not. But the thing is, there was one window air conditioner, and there were beer signs. all along those walls. Some of them were those lighted kinds, some weren't, you know, but they were all beer signs. And then downstairs, that's where the children's church was, and you had to walk around the building to the outside, go down these stairs. They were cement, and there was a wall there 4 feet tall. And I was a children's church director. And so we're down there. Now look, the door, what a hoot. Look at this. The door to the thing had a gap on it across the top like this, down the side, and the bottom was that way. Then it had hinges on the side and had a latch. Now everything in the world came in that door. I mean, there was plenty of room for everybody. And we had a lot of critters that came to hear about Jesus. We had spiders, we had snakes, we had roaches, we had them all. They all came. Our chairs were rusted. They were rusted. I told the parents, don't send your kids to church in good clothes because they're going to come home ruined. And the table was dusty, our one table. And so every Sunday morning, like clockwork, these kids were awesome. They would come in, and that was our job. Everybody worked together. Clean off the tables, clean off the chairs, and then we'd have church. These kids were so awesome. These kids learned the Bible just like the adults did. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They prayed in the Spirit. They laid hands on the sick and they got healed. They prophesied. They were awesome. And on top of that, they were soul winners. Soul winners. And I got two stories. And Anne French gave me permission to talk about her this morning. She was hoping to be here and couldn't make it. But her son, Burton, and Glenn were in that class. And they were awesome kids. And anyway, one day, Burton's about 8 years old. And he comes to me and he said, "Miss Bev, I'm going to go upstairs." And I said, "Oh, Burton, why? Is it something somebody did? Did I hurt your feelings? Did they hurt your, you know, what? Why are you going?" And all he would say to me is, "I want to go upstairs." He never told me nothing else. "I want to go upstairs." I said, "Geez, okay. Well, gosh, I'm going to miss you, but whenever you want to come back, you come on back." Okay. He goes upstairs. He's gone for 4 weeks. Now, I did not know this story until Anne, his mother, told me afterwards. The first week, Anne's very, if you don't know her, she's very, she's a sweetheart, real quiet, real shy, and she's sat in the back of the church all the time. Burton goes, sits down with her, and he says, "Mom, let's go sit up front." And she said, "No, let's just stay back here." Next week comes, "Mom, let's go up front." "No, stay back here." Third week, "Mom, let's go up front." Fourth week, she gives in and goes, "Okay." Now, front in that church, seriously, wasn't that far. From just right there. It's not far at all. And they set up front, and Pastor Buddy Walker gave an invitation to ask Jesus to come into your heart. And Burton looked at his mom and said, "Mom, don't you want to give your heart to Jesus today?" And she said, "Yes." She gave her heart to Jesus. We had soul winners. Another little boy, his name is Jason Drinkwater, 5 years old at the time. He goes to school and he starts, he's born again. These kids are born again, for real. And he goes to school and he starts telling the kids how, one little boy, how if he doesn't ask Jesus to come into his heart, he's going to hell. Well, the little kid's real upset. And he goes to the teacher and tells the teacher, "Well, by the grace of God, the teacher is one of us." And so she handles that situation. But the deal was, the little kid wasn't upset he was going to hell. He didn't even know what it was. He was upset that Jason used a cuss word. Soul winners. We had soul winners. So, let me move on to my... Move on. I got to watch my notes here. We were in that building. And then somewhere before 1987, we started praying for property of our own. And we found this piece of property. And people prayed. We prayed. We fasted. We sought God. and we came to this piece of property. We believed the Lord was speaking to us. And I would drive into Eustis to work every day. And on the way home, me, myself, would stop right here by myself, sit on the property and pray. And I would feel the peace of God move through these pine trees. The wind. I heard that earlier in our song. The wind blowing through the trees. Such a peace of God here. Everybody did that. You know, two or three of us would come together for together, and we'd pray over this property. God, is this where you want us? Is this where you want us? Is this where you want your word to come forth? Is this the place? Well, we believed it was, so we purchased the property. In 1987, we moved into the building, and hold on, don't leave me now. We moved into the building. I did good. I got ahead of myself. We moved into this building in 1987. Robert remembers, I think, the exact date. I don't. But we... When? Okay. September 1987, we moved into this building, and Children's Church was upstairs. And when we moved into that... Oh, I forgot to tell you this. One Sunday morning, Dale Juergens calls me, and he was the deacon at the time, and he said, I got good news and I got bad news. Which one do you want first? And you see, it had rained all night long. And I said, well, give me the bad news first. He said, the water outside your classroom's 4 feet deep. I went, praise God, give me the good news. He said, it's only 2 feet deep inside your room. Thank you, Jesus. So we moved out and we set out in the yard for 2 months because that place, we had to drain it out and all that. And by the time we got back in there 2 months later, now we had slimy walls and all that. It was kind of that way before. I mean, they would have condemned the place today. They wouldn't let us hold church there. But anyway, we had new visitors now, just besides the snakes, the roaches and all that. We had them little green frogs all over the place and slugs. You know what they are. They're hanging on the walls too. Our kids were so great, though, they didn't go, ew. They just jumped in and started scraping them off and throwing them outside. Anyway, when we moved into this building, we're upstairs. We had no furniture, none, but we had carpet, and we had air conditioning, and it was awesome, and it was clean, and we had no critters. I mean, those were swamp creatures, by the way. Anything that was a swamp creature was in with us back there. So we're upstairs, and I said to the kids, this is a day to be thankful. You tell me what you're thankful for. I didn't do anything. I didn't do the praying. I didn't do the thanking. They did it. And they went right down the list. Thanking God that we were in a high and dry place, that God had lifted us up. We weren't going to be in the ground, below the ground anymore. We didn't have those extra critters coming in. And we had air conditioning, which we didn't have before. Now we got air conditioning. We got a carpet on the floor. I mean, what else did we need? We never laid on the floor before. Now everybody's laying on the floor. It's an awesome time. That's what we were grateful for. We did a newsletter every month, and my article that month for the Children's Church was Deliverance from Egypt. That's just what it was. Praise God. I want to talk about in this place, people were so excited. Again, we came together with one accord was, we want more of Jesus. We know there's more. We're so hungry for him. We're reading the word ourselves. We don't wait to come on Sunday morning to hear it from the pastor. We're in the word all week long. And I mean, we're believing God. So when we come together, we're believing. We know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did then, he'll do today. We just believed it. What we saw in this place was incredible miracles. And I was hoping Carol was going to be here today because she was going to share some of those things too. They go on and on and on. We saw miraculous things. Now, a miracle, to me, is something that only God can do. Not anybody else. A miracle is something that God can do. That's what I read in Scripture. We had walking on water miracles. We saw people healed right before our eyes in this place. We saw demons cast out right before us in this place. When we came together, people would be laying out all over the floor. Oh, Jerry, You were so right on together today. Not that we weren't, Rob, but just what you said about being laid out in the Spirit and talking about that in the Bible and the cloud. I'm going to talk about that cloud. All of these kind of things we saw, and people would just be laying everywhere. We had pews then. People would be laying on the pews. They'd be laying in the floor there, down on their knees, just everywhere up here in front. Valentino Almaty, Rob's brother. I love this story. You know, we've been praying for him and his parents, all of us, praying for him and Rob. And Valentino came one Sunday morning, and we started, Bobby Walker Sr. happened to have the service that morning. And Valentino came from the back, right over there, laid right down on the floor, prostrate on the floor, face on the floor. And he stayed there, what we call the whole, during the whole worship song service. Bobby got up and preached. Valentino never got up. And Bobby just left him alone, never said a word. Because that's what we did. We left people alone with God so they could get alone. Because you see, the Holy Ghost will do what we cannot do. We try to take over for him. Get alone with God. That's the message. Get alone with God. Another week goes by. Every time the doors open, there he was. There he was. There he was. And I don't remember how many weeks that went on. But one day, he finally got it, I guess. He got up. Now he's this awesome pastor up in Alabama. What God will do if we'll just get alone. Get alone with him. The time. One day, I was reading the scriptures in the Old Testament about the cloud that fills the temple. And I'm like, wow. And again, I've got it in my heart. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did then, he'll do today. I just believe it. So I said, Lord, I want to see it. I want to see all those things. I want to see that cloud. I had a friend out in California, and he told me that one day in his church, that cloud manifested in their service. And I'm like, wow, I knew you could do it. If you did it there, you'll do it here. So one morning, sitting right over there, about the third row back, and the presence of God manifested in our service, overwhelming, just overwhelming. And when God manifests in my life, I love what somebody said. I think it was Jerry, that I can't do anything but cry. I am overwhelmed with emotion, and all I can do is cry. I can't talk. I can't anything, can't stand. I just cry. And somebody can ask me, why are you crying? And I'll tell you, I don't know. It's just God. It's God. So I'm right over there, and I'm bawling my eyes out. Tears just streaming down my face. And I opened my eyes, and when I opened my eyes, I saw this cloud in this place. You know what you do when you've been crying, you get a film over your eyes, and I'm doing all this stuff, and I literally did this. If you were this tall, right there. If you were this short, right there. It was amazing, amazing. I tapped the person in front of me on the shoulder. I said, can you see it? And she said, see what? And I didn't say anything. And again, I'm just in the presence of God. Can't even talk. Can't talk. Don't even know what Buddy said. Don't know the word he preached because my head was in the clouds. That's where I was. When we got out in the lobby, you know, everybody's leaving and you're out there. And I looked over and I saw Pam Jurgens across the way. And I went and made my way over to her and I said, Pam, I got to tell you what I saw this morning. And she said, I saw it too. I said, whoa, I got goosebumps right now. I said, you saw the cloud? She said, yeah, I saw it. Like, oh my gosh. We didn't talk about it. We couldn't talk about it because we're still in the cloud. The presence of God, when we seek him with our whole heart, set the day aside, set the time aside, get alone with him. I think I'm presence of God. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Now, I've been gone from, I was here 20 years. And then the Lord moved me. And he had a different, I got to sit down. That's why I had this thing. He moved me out for about, I think it's been about 11 years. I'm not real sure now. But he had a different plan for me in a different place, you know, a different time. And then Christmas Eve morning this past year, the Lord just encouraged me. I didn't hear an audible word. I just am like, I want to go to church at Whistling Pines this morning. And I've been here, you know, often because I've always kept a connection with Robert and Sean and Buddy and everybody, a lot of others here. But I felt, Lord, that he really wanted me to be here that morning. And I sat back there. That's my little cave, I call it. And I sat back there, and from the time the service started, I began to weep like crazy because the presence of God had manifested in this place. All through the service, I cried the entire service. I told Sean afterwards, I cried him through the entire service. Now, you might think that's pretty, well, you're just an emotional girl. Jerry and I were talking about that. We cry over everything now. But I think it's because we get to spend more time with the Lord. And the more we get in his presence, you can't do anything when you're in his presence. He's so in awe. I came back. I couldn't wait to get back. Now, I hadn't been excited about going to church for some time. Just because God was doing things in my heart, showing me other things. And the church in general, he spoke about it as well. It's been in a different place. It isn't in that place that it was many years ago. It's different. And we've allowed things to come into our lives. That's what it is. It's us. It's not God. It's us. Because God will move through the hungry, desperate heart. He will move. If you're hungry enough, he'll move through you. And you will see these things and do these things. That Sunday, I kept coming back. Now, here's the difference in me and maybe some of you, maybe not. You see, I'm coming looking. God has showed me I'm moving here. I'm moving in this place. And the things that have come, like he mentioned as well, some have left, some have gone. By the way, people will come and people will go. But the one thing that doesn't move or change is the word of God. That promise that was made from God on this property during that time when we were seeking him stands today. It stands today. It's the same. No matter who's pastoring, no matter who comes and goes, the word of God doesn't change. The promise of God does not change. It's here, and he's moving. Now, I come every Sunday. I'm so excited. I can't wait to get here. I just can't wait to get here because I know he's doing something. Now, I sit back there in the cave, and all I see is heads from the back. And that's the way I wanted it in the beginning because the Lord would speak to me. I didn't see your face. I couldn't tell what was going on with you in the, you know, in the face. We got a lot of masks here. Everybody does. But I saw the back of your head, and the Lord said, this one, this one, this one. He just started pointing you out to me and saying, this is what I'm doing in here. That one right there, that one. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So every week I come, I'm looking. I'm looking to see what God's doing in you. And he's showing me things. Now, if you've been here for a while, it's kind of like Pastor Buddy Walker used to talk about the frog. You throw him in the water when it's cold and turn up the heat. And he gets used to the water and don't even know he's cooking. So for some of you, it might be that way. And you might not see things that way. But what you do know is this. You keep coming. You're here for a reason. And you might think it's whatever. I don't know. But I can tell you straight up, you're here because God's put you here. When I was praying a couple weeks ago with the Lord, when I say pray, it's just talking to him and sitting and listening. We need to listen more. And he said to me, this is holy ground. He hadn't said that to me before. Where you sit right now, in this place where you stand, is holy ground. It's holy ground. Some of you may be like me, and you've seen things like I've seen it. Oh, my goodness, I didn't even tell you some of the miracles. Real quick. Nah. Don't look at the clock. It's okay. I wouldn't even have that clock if it were me. Of course, everyone knows that. Oh, I mean. See, that's the thing. See, I can come. That's what we used to love about evangelists. They come beat everybody up and all those prophets and everything. And then the pastor has to bandage everybody up. Miracles. Just a couple quick ones here. Awesome stuff. Little boy. One day, I'm the secretary at this time, and here comes this guy into the office. Burly guy. I mean, burly. And he's got on the sleeves cut out, and he's just walking like this, and he's stuff. And he says to me, where's the pastor? I said, I'll get him for you. So I called Buddy down, and he came in, and well, the guys went off and talked. Anyway, this guy was rough, but you know what he wanted to know? He wanted to hear about Jesus. And he lived here in Umatilla, and he was raising his little grandson. He was just a baby. Miranda, I don't know, you might have remembered this. And anyway, it's in those apartments down there in Umatilla that are on the second floor, and they have the little porch out on the front. Well, this was just a little guy. He wasn't 2 years old yet, and he fell over that onto the cement. And when he did, he got a concussion. His head was bleeding, and they, of course, called 911, and they rushed him to Gainesville. Very serious. Well, that grandpa called in here. He had just a week later, and he called in here and told us what happened, asked us to pray, and right away we started praying. By the time they got him to Shands, blood gone, no concussion. They did whatever they pronounced over him, nothing. Brought him back home. He was all healed, totally healed. Another one, little boy named Mark. I think he was about 7 at the time. And he had a liver with Swiss, they said it was like Swiss cheese. And same thing happened. We prayed for that boy. And in 1 week's time, God put a brand new liver in him. Miss Anna knows about that kind of stuff. Put a brand new liver in this little boy. In 1 week, came back to the doctors. Furman is the last name. Does anybody remember Mark or Matthew Furman? Brand new liver. It goes on and on and on. What I want to ask you today is, I want you to join me. Oh, let me say something else. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, your pastor, my pastor, our pastor, seeking God, he's been seeking God because he wants change. He wants to see these things that the Bible talks about. Am I right? Amen. He was right here on the floor, stretched out. Did anybody notice him during the service? And he stayed there for a long time. Emily ended the service. Everybody went out chatting and doing what they do. And our pastor stayed right there on the floor, prostrate before God. What I'm asking, what I believe the Lord's asking today, is come on, church. Let's get real. Whatever holds you back, if it's fear, if it's intimidation, if it's unbelief, if it's doubt, whatever it is, come on, come on. I want to get real with God. I don't like playing church. I don't do well there. I just don't do well in that place. Let's be real. Let's get on our faces. And don't worry about lunch. It'll still be there. Listen, if anybody's going to miss lunch, it'll be me. I like lunch. But I want to tell you something. I like God a whole lot better. And I love his presence. Will you join me today? Will you join your pastor? I don't care if you get on your knees, if you can. Some of us can't do that anymore. Get on your knees right where you are. Lay down on the floor. I don't care. Up here, back there, do something. If you need to leave, please do. You know, but do it quietly. go on out and don't talk when you get back there or in the lobby. Please go on outside because it can hinder. Let God move. Let him move. Let's move. Emily, you going to do your thing? I've asked Emily to do something a little different today. And Jamie, I think. You guys, Robert, I'm going to just do something different today. So move as the Lord leads you. I'm not talking about 2 minutes. I'm talking about 10, 20 hours, whatever it takes. And again, I know if you need to leave, please do. There's no judgment here. Do what you feel led to do. In Jesus' name, Pastor, is there anything you want to? Okay, Father, thank you, Jesus.
Just overwhelmed that someone like Bev and others have prayed for us.